is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Our exhaustive ESPN 97.5 research unearthed that last time we had Kelvin Sampson on, we went with a fight song. So we're whopping it today as we welcome the Cougars head coach, one of our occasional visits on the program, and this one ahead of the first of two postseason tournaments for U of H. Their first game up in Fort Worth for the first time for the American Athletic Conference tournament will be Friday, opponent to be determined. And, of course, this time next week we'll be gearing up for the NCAA tournament and obviously a couple of variables thrown in on all that stuff, and we shall discuss. Kelvin, Charlie here in the studio. As always, I much appreciate the time. And, well, you had an impossible standard basically from last regular season to live up to. And, well, here you are, number 22 in the country, 23-8, 13-5 in the league, part of the three-way championship-winning teams. How do you grade your regular season?
I think you have to look at it in its totality. Anytime you lose, you're disappointed. You know, coaches are our own worst critics. You know, we had some games I felt like we let get away, but we also had some games that we won that we could have lost. We had a home win against Connecticut. You know, we were on the verge of just kind of giving that one away, so we're kind of lucky to win that at the end. Temple, we had a 15-point lead at Temple. They came back and took the lead, and you know, they had a good crowd in there. We came back and won it at the end. But then, the SMU game on the road, the Memphis game on the road, those were games that you felt like maybe we could have won those. But I think you have to go back to the start of the year, Charlie. We lost four starters. And the one that hurt the most was Armani because I didn't find out he wasn't coming back until May the 29th, which was the last day you could keep your name in the draft, pull your name out. So when he decided to keep his name in the draft, instead of replacing Corey, Galen, and Breon, we had to replace our entire backcourt. And so no matter who you bring in, they've never started a game for you. And it's not the numbers, the statistics that you miss, it's the intangibles that Galen had. You know, he won over 100 games here in his career. Corey Davis won, 60 games in his career. Armani, was the sixth man of the year. Corey, first team all conference. Galen, his awards. You know, that experience. So starting the season off, we were an inexperienced team. We lost to BYU. We lost to Oklahoma State. We won at South Carolina. We won at Rice. We went to Oregon, and that was probably our dud for the year. We were never in that. It wound up then 10 or 12, but it wasn't that close. We just got better and better and better. We were 9-0 at home, the only team in the conference to go undefeated, which is a tip of the hat to our great fans. And we competed. You know, we lost five games, four of them by 1-1, 2-2, and then the last one by 6. And we had a chance to win every game. And when you look back, I don't think I anticipated us being conference champions again. Regardless of whether it's shared, it does say conference champions.
Yep.
And being able to go back-to-back, I think it's a great tribute to how hard this team has worked and the leadership that we've had from Nate Hinton.
Common thread in those tight losses, you had stretches where the offense just dried up. I think going back to our conversation at the outset of the season, what you were most curious, if maybe worry is not the right word, the outside shooting, the consistency of scoring, you have options. How do you feel you've gelled in that area as you go into the postseason where you have no road games, right? You have neutral sites. That was an element, especially with all your youth, that's a hurdle you've cleared.
Well, we still have that problem, Charlie. We haven't solved that one. I think that's the that's the biggest hole that Armani left. Because Armani made 118 threes, You don't replace that with another recruit. You know, he did that in his third year. It took him 3 years to get to that point. So you don't start over with someone. So we're not nearly as good a three-point shooting team. But to counter that, we don't take nearly as many threes, and we've become an outstanding offensive rebounding team. When we went to Italy this summer, that's when I made my mind up that for us to be successful this year, we had to get as close to 40%, rebound 40% of our misses as humanly possible, because we had to get more shots at the goal than anybody else. If we got the same shots on goal as everybody else, we weren't going to win. These teams probably going to be better shooters than we are. So defense, rebounding, competitiveness, toughness, getting loose balls, everything that we want our program to stand for, that's what we were good at. We are not, even though we have a high offensive efficiency rate, the reason our efficiency rate is so high is because of our offensive rebounding. But we're not a great shooting team, and maybe not even a great scoring team. But what we've learned how to do, Charlie, we've learned how to win the game. And that's a huge, huge key for any team. How are you going to win the game? We win it with our intangibles.
Well, a tremendous rebounding team. Still remarkable to me to play 31 games and be out-rebounded in none of them. That's just an amazing subset accomplishment there. One guy I wanted to mention in particular, and this year you had four starters to replace. That was a storyline. Next year, all goes well, you'll have four starters back. And I guarantee, well, I can't guarantee, it's going to be underappreciated, the absence of the one senior you'll be losing. I want to give you a moment to touch upon the growth of Chris Harris, Jr.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm so glad you mentioned him. He's why you get into coaching. You know, you see a kid like him that just he needs help. He needs someone to take me under your wing and help me, nurture me, show me what I need to do. I need somebody to believe in me. And Chris was the perfect kid in all those roles. But the key was Chris allowed us to help him. When he came out of Madison High School, we could see that he was an unfinished product. He needed to be developed. But if you're going to take a chance on a kid, I'm going to take a chance on a 6'10 kid. You know, there's thousands of six foot guards that's going to get better, but there's not a lot of 6'10 guys running around out there that you can develop. But to see his growth and his journey, and I don't have time to tell you about his journey, but the adversity that he had to overcome his first year, just taking classes on his own without any direction from us at U of H downtown, and then his second year at San Jack, and then the last 3 years here. He's had a wonderful journey that's taught him a lot of life lessons. It's brought a lot of respect from everybody involved in this program. You know, Chris is kind of our silent leader, if you will. He shows up to practice. He never misses practice. He never misses a tutoring assignment. He never misses class. He's already finished his credits for his degree. He's enrolled in a 6-credit internship this semester. And he'll be the first person in his family, Charlie, to graduate from college. And that was so important that he do that. He's a Houston kid. And there's a lot of Houston graduates that have watched him over the last 3 years develop into the kind of player and person he is. And I think that translates. I think that translates to him helping someone in a job. Hopefully he'll get hired someday by somebody that's seen his story and will appreciate it.
Talking with U of H head coach Kelvin Sampson, up to Fort Worth tomorrow. You await the Temple SMU winner for a Friday night game. How wide open do you think this tournament is after a regular season that had three teams go 13-5 to share the crown?
The most wide open it's been. You know, last year there was two outstanding teams in the league, Houston and Cincinnati. You figured if everything held that those teams, two teams would play in the finals. The year before, same thing, Houston, Cincinnati. This year, it's not one team or two teams. It's, you know, Memphis, Connecticut's probably playing better than anybody. You know, they really got addition by subtraction. Having seven guys is the best thing happened to them. Those their main guys play, they play slow. They use their timeouts. They use the TV timeouts and they keep their best player from the floor. Connecticut, Cincinnati, Memphis, SMU. I mean, it's right by their campus, obviously. Houston, Tulsa. There's probably six teams that can win this thing, which is going to make it a tremendous tournament to follow.
Not that Joe Lunardi is gospel on bracketology, but he is pretty good. I wanted to ask you to speak briefly to, he projects right now 10 of the 14 Big Ten teams would be in, 6 of the 10 Big 12, 7, half of the Pac-12, which is 14 teams, college math, just 2 American teams, yourselves, and then he presently has Cincinnati with Tulsa, Wichita State, Memphis, all in the first 4 or 8 teams out. Would you be disappointed, annoyed, disrespected if, as a league, you only get 2?
All of the above. All of the above. I don't think people realize how hard it is to win on the road in this league. You know, we played 5 Saturday games on the road. So we played 5 Saturdays in somebody else's gym. They had the best crowds of the year. 14,500 at Cincinnati, unbelievable environment. 18,000 at Memphis. 11,500 at Connecticut. SMU, 7,500. You know, everywhere we played on the road this year was a sellout. We played in front of tremendous crowds. And what's the difference in playing I don't want to start throwing names out, but I coached in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. I coached in the Big 12. I coached in the Pac-10 or Pac-12, and there's no difference. There's no difference. The difference is perception, because those leagues have far more tradition than we do, and that's because of the youth of our league. You know, we just haven't been around long enough. But sometimes that will create some disrespect. But Houston, Cincinnati, Connecticut, Wichita State. The only reason why Tulsa will have a hard time getting in is just because of the losses they had in non-conference. But their team didn't gel, really, until early January, mid-January. They'd start their season over then, so they may be 28-5 or whatever. But we have good teams in our league, and the more teams we get in, I think the more people will see how good this league is.
Lastly, Kelvin, and certainly hope to speak with you ahead of the NCAA tournament, but with the coronavirus story and pandemic going on, sounds like as of now, but it can change hour to hour, certainly day to day, that the tournament will be played under normal circumstances. But if you talk generally with your kids that, geez, if they decide no crowds, I mean, the Ivy League canceled its tournament. We're hearing venues saying they're going to limit crowds. One thing I love about your team is it brings its own intensity. But if somehow you wind up playing in an empty gym in a conference tournament semifinal game or something like that,
you know, I mean, it's a great question, Charlie.
But how the heck can you answer it?
Great unknown. I mean, I can't imagine doing it. But you know, this thing is you know. This pandemic is for real. I just saw where they canceled the rodeo.
Yeah, the livestock shows. Done.
You know, they start canceling rodeos, and, you know, Fort Worth is what? Four and a half hours from here? You know, I think that the more things that are canceled, the more things that will be canceled, because there's going to be pressure on people to follow suit. So I just hope we get to play, and if it's in front of great fans, then great. If not, then it'd be tough to cancel it and just, because think about the teams that won't have a chance to play themselves in. And I think it'd be a nightmare for the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee.
Well, here's hoping for a number of reasons. All goes smoothly through the weekend. Kelvin Sampson and U of H, the 2 seed. Boy, I'm sure the players for sure would love a shot at Cincinnati. But one game at a time and all that, fully understand. Kelvin, safe travels and good health to all, and good luck this weekend. And certainly hope to catch up again next week.
Okay. Always good being on with you, Charlie.
Kelvin Sampson, U of H head basketball coach, right? The times in which we live, especially these times.